Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on SharePoint upgrade and migration. My name is Valerie Lee. Today we are going to look at the upgrade and migration process of the new Office SharePoint Server 2007 in conjunction with the newest version of Windows SharePoint Services, version 3. Many of today's IT challenges are related to server-based websites and applications.
Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash.
There are too many disparate sites with incompatible content management, collaboration, and administration models. Also, there are web-based line of business applications that require separate logons due to different security models that are difficult to use due to different user interfaces and that lack flexibility for enhancement due to custom coding.
It includes full version
Microsoft
software and
products so that and you can evaluate provide our technology a single, at unified, enterprise-ready solution
no time bombs,
that boosts
so your
organizational
effectiveness time out.
By streamlining business processes and making information sharing intuitive
and
easy
Microsoft technical
through the best integration with familiar
with
desktop applications
you may encounter
and tools.
With the software. That is
in addition to controlling
value,
and reusing content while reducing information management risk,
all IT professionals.
SharePoint enables faster
Finally,
and more insightful decision making.
Use this to get your hands on the technology.
Many companies are already using SharePoint products
you can explore
and technologies.
How it works,
so the question now changes from why should I use SharePoint
experience.
Technologies to why should I upgrade to the newest version? In this session, we are going to show how SharePoint products and technologies have evolved and the advantages offered with the newest release of Windows SharePoint Services 3.0 and the new Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007. Once you've decided to upgrade, you have several options of how to carry out the upgrade process. We are going to explain these upgrade alternatives along with the advantages and disadvantages of each one. With each upgrade approach comes additional considerations. This includes how to handle customizations and how to address the upgrade if you use shared services. We are going to address these concerns and give possible solutions. In addition, we give tips for pre-upgrade and post-upgrade steps and best practices. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful, but not essential, for this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. We are going to be introducing the newest version of Windows SharePoint Services, so it would be helpful if you had some experience with or knowledge of Windows SharePoint Services version 2, including the portal sites. SharePoint Portal Server has been replaced with Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007. However, some knowledge of the previous server would be helpful when we are covering the history of SharePoint and to reference improvements with the new server. It would also be helpful to have knowledge of Windows Server 2003 administration, as many of the areas we will discuss pertain to server administration. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. We are going to start this session by outlining the advantages of upgrading to the newest release of Windows SharePoint Services and to the new Office SharePoint Server 2007. After showing how SharePoint products and technologies have progressed, we will look at some pre-upgrade steps. After you perform the pre-upgrade steps, you will need to determine which upgrade approach will work best for your organization. Whether you decide to perform the in-place upgrade, gradual upgrade, or content database migration, we will alert you to advantages and disadvantages of each approach. Some additional considerations need to be addressed before you make your final decision about your upgrade route. We will let you know how search and shared services are affected by the upgrade. If you have a heavily customized SharePoint deployment, we will outline some possible areas of conflict during your upgrade and ways to address these conflicts. SharePoint products and technologies have progressed through several stages in the past years. SharePoint was introduced in 2001 with SharePoint Team Services version 1 and SharePoint Portal Server 2001. In 2003, Microsoft came out with a newer version of Windows SharePoint Services and the SharePoint Portal Server. In addition, organizations could integrate Microsoft Content Management Server, or MCMS, 2002, with Windows SharePoint Services and Office SharePoint Portal Server 2003. Windows SharePoint Services and SharePoint Portal Server 2003 provided collaboration and intranet portal site features, such as search, alerts, and notification, and document versioning that you could use to organize, share, and find important information located throughout your organization. MCMS 2002 offers web content management features such as authoring and presentation templates, content scheduling and workflow, and dynamic page assembly. With the newest releases of SharePoint technology, Microsoft wanted to combine all the necessary features into a single solution. This was accomplished through version 3 of Windows SharePoint Server, or WSS, and the replacement of the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 with Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007. These releases were developed with some goals in mind. First, Microsoft wanted to provide a clean upgrade from version 2 to version 3. In addition, user impact was minimized by reducing outage duration and eliminate the number of users affected by any outage. Microsoft also wanted to ensure that administrators were able to upgrade easily. Resource options have been provided to enable the upgrading of existing farms and to support migrating to new farms. Microsoft also wanted to provide an upgrade approach that would allow administrators to upgrade the majority of customizations. Finally, SharePoint 2007 was designed to provide a consistent user interface. With these goals in mind, let's go over why you should upgrade to Office SharePoint Server 2007 and Windows SharePoint Services version 3. Microsoft SharePoint products and technologies provide a single, unified, enterprise-ready solution that boosts organizational effectiveness by streamlining business processes and making information sharing intuitive and easy through the best integration with familiar desktop applications and tools. In addition to controlling and reusing content while reducing information management risk, SharePoint enables faster and more insightful decision-making. Office SharePoint Server 2007 is built on an open, scalable architecture with support for web services and interoperability standards, including XML and Simple Object Access Protocol. The server has rich, open application programming interfaces and event handlers for lists and documents. These features provide integration with existing systems and the flexibility to incorporate new non-Microsoft IT investments. The infrastructure consolidation allows for co-hosting corporate and host header mode sites in the same farm. Also, each portal becomes a site collection, which results in fewer databases. SharePoint 2007 comes with out-of-box utilities to improve data protection. The recycle bin allows for easier data retrieval if necessary. smigrate.exe is a Microsoft Windows SharePoint Services utility that can be used to back up and restore a website on a server running Windows SharePoint Services. This utility is used when migrating a SharePoint Team Services deployment to Windows SharePoint Services. SharePoint 2007 adds a new command line ability to import and export using stsadmin-o import/export, which will simplify the process for administrators. Search scalability is increased by 32. In addition, there is now a common Office Server 2007 and Windows SharePoint Services search engine, and the changelog allows for incremental propagation. In order to keep SharePoint sites current and relevant, administrators need to provide effective lifecycle management. SharePoint 2007 assists in this task by allowing the site collection owner to be updatable by the user, as well as the addition of confirmation and auto-deletion and delete events to capture deletes. Built-in page reghosting fixes broken pages. The Windows SharePoint Services 3.0 environment provides an overall improved experience for both users and administrators. ASP.NET 2.0 integration, master pages, and new features allow for improved customizability. Some of these new features are blogs, wikis, RSS, workflows, inbound email, and events. Business data integration with BDC, Excel Server, and InfoPath Form Server allows for greater ease of administration and a better user experience. We are going to reference the ghosting process throughout this session, so let's first take a look at what ghosting means and how it has changed with WSS version 3. Site definition files are cached in memory on the server at process startup of Microsoft Internet Information Services, or IIS, which improves scalability and performance by reducing unnecessary data storage or retrieval and by allowing uncustomized pages to be reused across sites. The information contained in these files is pulled from the cache at runtime. Pages and list schemas are read from the site definition files, but appear to be actual files within a site, which is why these files are referred to as ghosted. Ghosted pages are, therefore, pages whose actual content does not reside in the database, but rather on disk, although a row for each page can be found in the database containing a column value that points to the page source in the file system. New web part pages are also ghosted. When site pages are customized, excluding browser-based customizations, such as modifications to web parts, the pages become unghosted, and their contents are stored in the database. Prior to WSS 3.0, there wasn't a native means for re-ghosting pages. In addition, uploaded ASPX files were considered unghosted automatically. However, WSS 3.0 allows for automatic re-ghosting, which will help increase your scalability and performance while allowing all site data to be stored together. Before you begin upgrading your farm, there are some steps you should perform. First, you need to make sure your farm is upgraded to SharePoint Service Pack 2. This step is required to upgrade. Next, you will install prerequisites. This includes Windows Workflow Foundation. Virtually all software used in enterprises today has the same goal, supporting business processes. Whether the processes are entirely automated or rely on people to initiate the process, approve documents the process uses, and resolve any exceptional situations that arise, a discrete series of steps known as a workflow can be defined. This workflow describes the activities of the people and software involved in the process. Windows Workflow Foundation provides a common framework for building workflows into Microsoft Windows applications. Whether those workflows coordinate interactions among software, interactions among people, or both. The other prerequisite is ASP.NET 2.0. Since WSS runs on the ASP.NET 2.0 platform, this needs to be installed for the web parts to work correctly. After you have installed Windows Workflow Foundation and ASP.NET 2.0, you'll want to run and test a full backup. A pre-upgrade scan tool is available that you must use to scan your sites before performing an upgrade. If you have not run this tool and you attempt to run setup and upgrade your environment, setup will exit and prompt you to run the tool. This tool is helpful because it identifies possible issues with your upgrade process. It can identify the existence of any site templates that have been customized for a particular site. With this information, you can verify the customizations again after upgrade. You will also be alerted to the existence of custom web parts, which allows administrators to plan for these parts to be rebuilt or redeployed after upgrade. The existence of orphaned objects will also be identified by this tool. Orphaned objects can be list items, lists, documents, websites, and site collections that exist but are not associated with a particular site. Because orphaned objects do not work in the old version, they also won't work after the upgrade. If you perform an in-place upgrade, the orphaned items will still exist, but will not work. If you perform a gradual upgrade, orphaned items will not be copied to the new site. Therefore, it is recommended that you clean up any orphaned objects before upgrading. Along with identifying possible issues with the upgrade, the pre-upgrade scan tool can give you useful information about how to approach your upgrade. This includes which types of upgrade to perform, whether to upgrade some or all site collections that contain customized sites, and which sites may need to have customizations reapplied or redone after upgrade, and that may take longer than others in the review stage. Now let's look at how to perform some of these pre-installation steps. In this demonstration, we will show how to perform the steps necessary before beginning an upgrade. Before you begin the upgrade process, you need to perform some pre-upgrade steps. First, you will need to install the prerequisite applications. If you have installed the latest release of SQL Server 2005, ASP.NET 2.0 will also have been installed, since it is required for SQL Server 2005. If you are running an earlier version of SQL Server or using the standalone installation option, which will install the database engine, you will need to install ASP.NET 2.0. In our example, we have already installed SQL Server 2005, so .NET 2.0 is also installed. Next, you will need to install Windows Workflow Foundation. As we mentioned, most software in enterprises exists to support business processes. A series of steps known as a workflow can be defined for these processes. The purpose of Windows Workflow Foundation is to provide a common framework for building workflows into Microsoft Windows applications. So naturally, a collaborative suite like SharePoint will be able to use this foundation to better meet your organization's needs. You must uninstall any previous versions of Windows Workflow Foundation listed in Add or Remove Programs before proceeding, or setup will not complete correctly. Once we accept the license agreement, the installation will continue. The installation will only take about a minute to complete. Now the installation is complete, we can move on to other pre-upgrade steps. To ensure that you can recover your existing environment in case something goes wrong during the upgrade process, you must back up all the databases that are used by Microsoft Office SharePoint Portal Server 2003 before you run the upgrade process. You should also back up any customizations and other files you would need in case you need to recreate your version 2 environment. We will back up the SPS01_config_DB database, which holds the configuration data for our site. You would probably want to perform a backup on all the databases that are used by SharePoint. We can perform two types of backup. The first choice is the full backup, which will back up the selected content with all history. The second option is a differential backup, which will only back up changes to the selected content since the last full backup. In addition to a full or differential backup, you can back up just the transaction log. Then we can choose the backup component, either the database or files and file groups. Other options include the ability to change the name, description, and expiration of the backup. Once we select the backup location, the backup will start. We will see a message letting us know the backup completed successfully. You need to be sure that these backups are valid so that you can recover in the remote eventuality that there is a hardware failure or data corruption during the upgrade process. To test your backups, set up a non-production front-end web server and SQL Server, restore the backups, and install any customizations. Then verify that the restored backup is functional. After performing all the pre-upgrade steps, we can begin the install of Office SharePoint Server 2007 to the first front-end web server in the farm. We must enter the product key. Then accept the license terms. Setup will automatically detect if you have previous versions of SharePoint installed. It will then display upgrade options. The first option is the automated in-place option. If this option is selected, all websites and databases will be upgraded, and the process will continue until complete. This is best for installations with few databases and less than 30 gigabytes of content. We also have the option to not perform an upgrade. In this case, the new version can be installed alongside the existing product and can run without affecting the older installation. You can upgrade at a later time using the central administration pages. The final option is the gradual upgrade. This will allow for the existing installation to function and enable you to upgrade websites in batches. A gradual upgrade is best for large installations or where websites have been extensively customized. Now we can choose the role of the server on which we are performing the upgrade. If we choose the complete option, we will be able to add servers to form a SharePoint farm. The web front-end option will only install components required to render content to users. With this option, you can add servers to form a SharePoint farm also. Finally, you can choose the standalone option. By choosing standalone, all components will be installed on a single computer, including the desktop database engine. You would not want to choose this option if you are using SQL Server 2000 or 2005. Unlike the other two options, when you choose standalone, you can't add servers to create a SharePoint farm. The file location displays the location where SharePoint products and technologies will be installed. You can select an alternate location if you wish. As the upgrade process runs, it will upgrade any data specific to each server. First, the upgrade process creates an Office SharePoint Server 2007 web application to host SharePoint Central Administration, and then creates the Central Administration site. Then the upgrade process creates a new configuration database to store configuration data for Office SharePoint Server 2007. Configuration data from the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 configuration database is copied into the new database, and single sign-on is upgraded. A new Office SharePoint 2007 is registered in order to talk to the old single sign-on database. After SharePoint Server 2007 has been installed to the first front-end web server, you would then install it to all other servers in the server farm. If the environment uses shared services, the upgrade process upgrades user profiles and search data specific to the portal site that was selected. Once the administrator selects a virtual server to upgrade and specifies the target web application, the upgrade process creates the target web application and adds any web parts deployed to the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 virtual server to the new web application. Content databases are upgraded differently. A new temporary database is created during the upgrade process for each content database that exists in version 2. Then the upgrade process copies the site list from SharePoint Portal Server 2003 into the new environment. After the administrator selects the site collections to upgrade, the upgrade process copies the data for those sites into the temporary content database and upgrades those sites in that temporary content database. Each site is temporarily unavailable while being copied into the temporary content database. Once a content has been upgraded, the upgrade process moves the data to the Office SharePoint Server 2007 content database and deletes the temporary content database. At the end of the upgrade process, SharePoint Portal Server 2003 and Office SharePoint Server 2007 are both running and available. Once the installation is finished on your first front-end web server, you will then be able to install and configure Office SharePoint Server 2007 on other front-end web servers in the farm. We will return to the presentation now and come back to this installation in the next demonstration. Let's move on to the next agenda item. Now that we have looked at some factors for beginning the upgrade process, let's look at different approaches for upgrading to SharePoint 2007. An in-place upgrade takes place on the same hardware as your version 2 installation. The process is simple and cost-effective since it doesn't require additional hardware. When you run an in-place upgrade, the process upgrades your entire installation in a preset sequence. After performing all pre-upgrade steps, the server administrator installs Office SharePoint Server 2007 to the server running Microsoft Office SharePoint Portal Server 2003 and chooses the in-place upgrade option. Next, the upgrade process runs and upgrades the configuration database and the central administration site. Any data specific to the server, such as search settings, is then updated. Each site collection on the virtual server is updated next. After all sites have been upgraded, the upgrade process ends. This process will then be repeated on each server in a server farm environment. Once the administrator confirms the upgrade is complete, he or she would then uninstall SharePoint Portal Server 2003. Therefore, version 2 is not available after upgrade. Another disadvantage to this method is that the entire farm is offline during the upgrade. Just as in an in-place upgrade, a gradual upgrade takes place on the same hardware that is used for your version 2 installation. However, a gradual upgrade allows you to control when upgrade takes place for each individual site collection, and also allows you to continue running the previous version and the new version side by side on that hardware. When you perform a gradual upgrade, the starting and ending topologies have the same configuration. However, during and after upgrade, the front-end web servers run both SharePoint Portal Server 2003 and Office SharePoint Server 2007. Any upgraded site collections run under Office SharePoint Server 2007, while site collections that cannot be upgraded or that were not selected for upgrade continue to run under SharePoint Portal Server 2003. During and after upgrade, the application servers run both SharePoint Portal Server 2003 and Office SharePoint Server 2007 services. Upgraded portals consume Office SharePoint Server 2007 shared services. Portals that have not yet been or cannot be upgraded consume SharePoint Portal Server 2003 shared services. Additional services, such as Excel services, can be added after upgrade. During and after upgrade, both SharePoint Portal Server 2003 and Office SharePoint Server 2007 databases are available. Content for upgraded sites is stored in the Office SharePoint Server 2007 databases. Content for sites that could not be upgraded or that need to remain as they were continue to be stored in SharePoint Portal Server 2003 databases. Configuration databases exist for both Office SharePoint Server 2007 and SharePoint Portal Server 2003. Gradual upgrade provides several benefits. It allows administrators to break the upgrade into smaller parts. It reduces time any single user is impacted. It uses existing hardware, and it allows you to revert to version 2 if necessary. Conversely, gradual upgrade uses extra SQL space, and WSS version 2 host editor mode is not supported. Another consideration with gradual upgrades is URL redirects. Two sites can't share the same URL, so during gradual upgrade, when you have both the old version and the new version of each site, you need two different domain URLs for each site. During upgrade, a temporary domain URL is needed to host the original version of the site. The new version takes over the domain URL that points to the content prior to upgrade, and user requests will be routed to their content whether or not it has been upgraded. The process during upgrade to make this redirection possible starts with creating a temporary URL domain for your original version of the site. When you run upgrade, the upgrade process will ask you for the domain you created and then move the old version site to the temporary URL domain, and the new version site takes over the original URL domain. A redirect is created automatically for each site collection to send requests for the original URL to the old site until the site is upgraded. After each site has been upgraded, the redirect for that site is dropped. After all sites have been upgraded and you have deleted all of the old sites and completed the upgrade process, you can manually remove the temporary URL domain from the domain name service. During this process, browse access to the original URL will continue to work. Now we're going to look at a demonstration of how the gradual upgrade process works. In this demonstration, we will look at the gradual upgrade process. When you install Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007, the pre-upgrade scan tool is automatically installed on your computer. This tool has to be run before starting the SharePoint Technologies and Configuration Wizard, or else the installation will fail. This tool is helpful for administrators to identify possible issues that may cause problems with the upgrade process. Resolving, or at least being aware of the problems before upgrading, will make the migration go more smoothly and have a smaller impact on your organization. We will run the utility from the command prompt. The tool is placed in the Web Services Extension folder during the Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007 installation. The pre-upgrade scan utility can be accessed through the executable called prescan.exe. As the utility is running, you will be shown a progress indicator. When it is completed, you will be shown either a success or failure notification. The results of the scan, either with a success or failure outcome, can be viewed in a report called Pre-Upgrade Report. If you receive a failure message, you may have to run the utility more than once until you get a successful scan. In this case, there will be more than one pre-upgrade report in this folder. This log shows all the information that is gathered from the pre-upgrade scan tool. We will be given a summary of the number of sites that were scanned, including ones that were skipped due to a previous scan on the site. If you received a failure message, you would want to look at this log to see the reason for the failure. The top of this report provides a short description of the reason for failure. You can review this information to see what kinds of issues may need to be addressed, either prior to upgrading or shortly after the installation. Some of the information included in this report is the number of broken sites, the number of webs using custom templates, and the number of unghosted pages. If you had any issues to address, you would want to make sure to have a plan before you continue with the upgrade. The next step in the upgrade process is to run the SharePoint Products and Technologies Configuration Wizard. This wizard will take you through several steps to get started with WSS 3.0. As you go through the wizard, several services may have to be started or reset during configuration, including Internet Information Services, SharePoint Administration Service, and SharePoint Timer Service. At this point, you can connect to a server farm or create a new farm. After you configure your first front-end web server with SharePoint 2007, you select the option to connect to an existing farm and then connect to the farm you created. For this demonstration, we are going to create a new farm. The database server will most likely be another server on your farm, but in this demonstration, we have our database server hosted on the same server as our web front-end server. So we will select SEA-OSS-01. All servers in our server farm must share a configuration database. If the database does not exist, it will be created. Note that if you wish to reuse an existing database, the database must be empty. If the database is hosted on another server, you must enter a domain account. If you want to use a specific port number for SharePoint Central Administration, you can enter the number on the Configure SharePoint Central Administration web application page, or you can accept the default port. Once we verify the settings are correct, the wizard will perform the next steps to configure our server. If you have a server farm with multiple servers, you must run setup on each server to install new binary files before running the configuration wizard and starting the upgrade process. Depending on your server farm configuration and where you are in the process of installing and configuring Office SharePoint Server 2007, you have three choices. If this is the only server in your farm, no other actions are necessary. If you have other servers in your farm and you have not yet run setup and the configuration wizard on the other servers, you will stay at this point and then run setup and the configuration wizard on the other servers in the farm. When all the other servers are at the same stage, you can return to this server and continue with the SharePoint Products and Technologies configuration wizard. If you have already run setup and the configuration wizard on all servers in your server farm and they are all at this stage, you can continue with the configuration wizard. The upgrade process might take a while to complete, up to an hour. Once a wizard is finished, the Central Administration homepage will open and you can start configuring SharePoint. At this point, you can install any language template packs you need for the new version. Since finishing this wizard is a lengthy process, we are going to switch over to another computer that has already finished the wizard. You will likely notice immediately some of the changes to the new SharePoint Central Administration page. One of the main design goals for the Central Administration page is for the interface to be easier to navigate. New security settings allow the Recycle Bin and Site Settings options to only be available when a user is logged on with sufficient privileges. To take full advantage of the administrative features and capabilities of Office SharePoint Server 2007, you should perform the following optional administrative tasks using SharePoint Central Administration. Administrative tasks are listed on the front page of Central Administration. These tasks are created by the system. Since we performed a gradual upgrade with a complete install, we have the option of adding more servers to this farm. The Add Servers to Farm link will take us directly to the page where we can add more servers. Another new feature is the ability to view all servers in the farm from the main page. We can see our server SEA-OSS-01 and all the services currently running on the server. If there were more servers in our farm, they would also be listed here. Flexible topologies better meet the needs of corporations by supporting a more cost-effective way of managing SharePoint, including adding additional servers as needed to provide scalability. Installation and management is easy for any topology needed, from a single server to a large enterprise farm or internet publishing farm. One of the first tasks in configuring our SharePoint server is to enable the required services. SharePoint lets us know which services need to be enabled on the server. This is determined by the functions that the server will perform. Since we only have one server at this time, we want our server to have the services enabled. We will tell SharePoint that this server will be a single server for a small server farm. In a larger farm environment, you would have several servers in your farm and each one be configured for a specific role. The services that are needed on this server are highlighted in yellow. The first service is Central Administration, which has already started. Next, we need to enable the Excel calculation services. This service performs calculations for Microsoft Excel spreadsheets. The search service allows users to use the search features within the SharePoint site to search for documents, people, and other content that may be on the site. It also performs indexing for faster searches. If you have multiple servers in your farm that will serve as search servers, you may want to separate the services. In the Query and Indexing section, you can decide whether to have the server index content, run search queries, or both. The default catalog location is a local path where the search index is located on the server. Only new indexes created or propagated from here on out will be in this location. You can either specify a location or keep the default location. You need to specify an email address that a user can send messages to in the event there are problems with searching. The search service will run using a specified account. If you choose to enter a user account, it must be a member of the administrator's group on the computer that is running the search service. We are going to choose to have the service run under the network service account. If you are configuring the search service on a server that provides web services and renders web content, click No Dedicated Web Front-End Computer for Crawling. If you are configuring the search service on a server that is a standalone search server that does not provide web services and render web content, click Use a Dedicated Web Front-End Computer for Crawling. Then, in the Select a Front-End Web Computer area, click the computer you want to use for crawling. Windows SharePoint Services Help Search provides search results concerning help content. We want this server to index our content databases. Indexing can occur at different interval times based on your company's needs. You may want indexing to occur every 5 minutes, the default, if you have content that is updated frequently, or you may choose to only have the content indexed daily to save bandwidth and processing time. The final service we need on this server is the Windows SharePoint Services web application. You must start the Windows SharePoint Services web application service on every computer that you want to act as a web server. To enhance security, you can leave this service turned off on application servers that do not provide web content to client computers. Also, you do not need to turn the service on to use SharePoint Central Administration on a server. A third upgrade approach is called content database migration. If you are moving to new hardware or re-architecting your deployment, you can choose to migrate your databases from the old version to the new version, rather than upgrading them directly. When you perform a database migration, you are essentially performing an in-place upgrade on the databases, but not upgrading any of your farm configuration data. This upgrade path has more manual steps than either in-place or gradual migration. That can be the best option if you have highly customized sites or custom web services or applications. When you upgrade by way of database migration, you perform a backup and restore of your databases, backing them up in the old farm and restoring them in the new farm. When you restore a database and add it to the farm, the upgrade process runs and upgrades the entire database. During this process, you will need to manually copy any customizations into your new farm and manually reapply farm configuration settings. The process will start with performing the standard pre-upgrade steps. Next, you will create a new farm on clean hardware. During this step, you will configure farm level settings and create new web applications for each virtual server. Then you will reapply any customizations. The next step will be to back up the version 2 content database using SQL Server. Then you will restore the backup in the version 3 farm. You can add the content database to the web application through the GUI or command line. For larger databases, using the command line is preferable. The upgrade will trigger automatically and then run until complete. Once the process completes, you can view the log file for any issues. Then you will need to repeat the process for all content and search user profile databases. Each of these upgrade approaches has advantages and disadvantages. You will need to decide which one will work best for your organization's needs. Now that we have looked at different upgrade approaches, let's look at some additional considerations for the upgrade process. Windows SharePoint Services uses a different strategy for upgrading a page, depending on whether or not it has been customized or is unghosted. Windows SharePoint Services tracks whether a website was created through version 2 or version 3 site definition. After the upgrade process, any references to uncustomized, ghosted front-end files are mapped to the version 3 site definition. However, during the initial upgrade, customized pages on the website may still be stored in the database as version 2.0 pages or as pages without a master or web part manager. At the time of parsing and rendering a page, Windows SharePoint Services determines which website the page is associated with and, therefore, whether ghosted files on the front-end web server are version 2 or version 3. Since version 2 pages are not directly compatible with version 3 standards, they run in a compatibility mode if the site has not been upgraded. Once an upgrade definition is applied and the site is upgraded, SharePoint assumes that the pages are fully compatible with ASP.NET 2.0. This process has several implications with regards to customizations. In version 2, customized pages in the database were parsed using the Windows SharePoint Services parser, which had different tolerances than the ASP.NET parser. As a result, if a page contains malformed markup language, it may have worked in version 2.0, but it won't work in ASP.NET. If you have front page customizations on your site, these custom pages will be kept during an upgrade. However, themes are not preserved. With this in mind, you may decide not to keep these customizations because they won't match the rest of the site. You may choose to reset to the default site definition. This option exists to reset all pages during upgrade and is available in Site Settings or within SharePoint Designer. Sites based on version 2 site definitions should still work in version 3. However, they generally won't take advantage of version 3 features. Therefore, you will probably want to convert your site definitions to map to the version 3 directory. You can gradually upgrade your sites to take advantage of the new feature listings. Version 2 web parts continue to function in version 3, although they require a few changes in their configuration. However, you must rebuild the custom web part if you used ASP.NET 1.1 obfuscation tools or used APIs that have been removed in the new version. You must redeploy web parts if moving to a new server farm, the web part is in the recycle bin, or you are not upgrading in place. If you have extensively customized your version 2 sites, you need to determine how you want to handle your customized sites when you upgrade. Your approach will vary based on the extent of the customizations, complexity of your site, and your goals for upgrading. You can choose to keep the customizations. If you choose to keep your customizations, there are three ways to perform the upgrade. First, you can do an in-place upgrade and not reset the pages to the site definition version. By default, an in-place upgrade preserves customizations and does not reset to site definition. If you decide to do a gradual upgrade, you keep the site in the old environment, which will maintain the site with only the old functionality. With a gradual upgrade, you can also upgrade the site, but not revert any pages to the template. This approach might result in an uneven look if you didn't customize every page. You may also choose to discard the customizations. Whether you do an in-place or gradual upgrade, you can upgrade and then reset the entire website to use the site definition pages instead of your customizations. This way, you can start with the new functionality and then decide whether to customize the site again. Site owners can reapply customizations when they review the upgraded sites. Another way to discard the customizations would be to start fresh with the new site in the new environment. This approach works when you're dramatically redesigning your site and don't need to have either the structure or most of the content in the new site. Finally, you may choose to redo the customizations with either an in-place or gradual upgrade. With an in-place upgrade, you would not reset the pages to the site definition. By default, an in-place upgrade preserves customizations and does not reset the page to the site definition version. After upgrade, you can open the site, copy the customizations, reset to site definition, and then reapply the customizations to have both the new functionality and your customizations. With a gradual upgrade, you would reset the customized pages to the site definition pages, then transfer the customizations from your old site to the new site using a SharePoint-compatible web page editor, such as Microsoft Office SharePoint Designer 2007. In Microsoft Office SharePoint Portal Server 2003, all search settings were stored in the registry, except for scopes and best bets, which were stored in the content database. During an in-place or gradual upgrade to Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007, most search settings are upgraded. However, there are a few exceptions. Index files are not upgraded. Instead, they will be recreated when the server or farm is crawled for the first time. After upgrading to Office SharePoint Server 2007, you must perform a full crawl of any content you want to index. Also, scopes are not upgraded. You must recreate search scopes after upgrading to Office SharePoint Server 2007. You must also recreate search alerts after upgrading to Office SharePoint Server 2007. Finally, any filters, word breakers, and thesaurus files that you have installed are not upgraded. These files are version dependent, and you must install new versions of these files as available. Because the search settings are stored in the registry and not in the database, if you choose a database migration approach to upgrade, none of the search settings are upgraded. You must manually reconfigure search in the new environment. If you use Shared Services in SharePoint Portal Server 2003, the gradual upgrade process is more complicated. It follows the same rough outline, but you must repeat the steps for the parent portal and all child portals. During a gradual upgrade with Shared Services, the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 parent portal continues to provide services to sites that are configured to consume shared services, and the same user experience is retained. There are two search crawls performed. By default, Office SharePoint Server 2007 crawls everything that was crawled by SharePoint Portal Server 2003. And the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 search service continues to crawl the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 environment. It is important to note that Office SharePoint Server 2007 can crawl the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 sites, but SharePoint Portal Server 2003 cannot crawl version 3 Office SharePoint Server 2007. This means that you may be using up to twice the amount of network bandwidth for search crawling during a gradual upgrade with shared services. To minimize the impact, you can reduce the scope of either the version 2 or Office SharePoint Server 2007 crawls, and as SharePoint Portal Server 2003 sites are upgraded, you can delete their start addresses from the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 search settings. User profile and audience data is modified in one location, Office SharePoint Server 2007, and is pushed from Office SharePoint Server 2007 to the SharePoint Portal Server 2003 environment by way of a scheduled job run by the SharePoint Timer service. When you upgrade with shared services, you should upgrade the parent portal first and then any child portals. However, if you need to upgrade a child portal first, you can create a temporary shared service provider in a new Office SharePoint Server 2007 environment, and then upgrade the child portal and point it to the temporary SSP for services. We are going to look at a demonstration on customizations and shared services. In this demonstration, we will look at how to handle customizations and shared services during the upgrade process. If you want to remove all customizations from a page, such as changes to web part zones or text added to the page, you can do so from the central administration page. Within site settings, you can use a feature that will reset to the version of the page included with the site definition. You can reset a single page within your site to use the version of the page included in the site definition, or you can reset all pages. However, be cautioned that when you reset to the site definition version, you will lose all customizations made to the current version of the page. No backup copy of the page will be made before the page is updated, and no new version is created. After performing a gradual upgrade, you will need to determine whether any pages need to be reset to the site definition version. If you have pages that have been customized and do not show the new version's functionality, you should consider resetting the pages to the site definition to apply the new version's look and functionality and then reapplying your customizations. Shared services are an important feature for SharePoint 2007. They allow your organization to better utilize its resources. Specifically, SharePoint Search allows users to have enterprise-wide information at their fingertips, and it is easily configurable by administrators. Once you upgrade to the newest version of SharePoint, one of the first tasks you will want to perform is setting up the shared services for your farm. Now that we have all the required services enabled, we can create the Shared Services Provider, or SSP. If you have not created a web application for the SSP administration site, you will need to create one before you can create the SSP. The SSP name must be a unique descriptive name for the provider. This name will be used throughout the website to identify the SSP. A web application is required for the SSP administration site. You are going to create a new web application for this SSP. We will create a new website with the default port that SharePoint has selected. In a server farm, this website will automatically be created on all other servers in the farm. By default, the authentication provider is set to NTLM. NTLM authentication will work with any application pool account, as well as with the default domain configuration. Kerberos is the recommended security configuration to use with integrated Windows authentication. However, you should use this option only if Kerberos is supported in your environment. This option will require configuring a service principal name for the domain user account, for which you must have domain administrator credentials. If you choose to use Secure Sockets Layer, or SSL, you must add the certificate on each server using the IIS administration tools. Until this is done, the web application will be inaccessible from this IIS website. The application pool defines the account and credentials that will be used by this service. If you choose to specify user count, it does not have to be a member of any particular security group. However, it is recommended that you use the principle of least privilege and select a unique user account that does not have administrative rights on your front-end servers or on your back-end database servers. You can use the user account that you specified as the Office SharePoint Server 2007 service account, provided you are following the principle of least privilege. Since we only have one search server, we will select it for this application. A shared service is a high-value application that is consumed by other applications. An SSP is created and configured to host shared services by a server farm administrator so that they are available to multiple portal sites within a farm. The farm administrator then assigns an SSP to a portal site. A farm can contain multiple SSPs, but a portal site can only be associated with one SSP. An SSP can only have one instance of a particular shared service. Enterprise Search in SharePoint 2007 is a shared service that provides extensive and extensible content gathering, indexing, and querying. This service supports full-text searching using an SQL-based query syntax and provides a new keyword syntax to support keyword searches. In SharePoint Portal Server 2003, you manage crawl configuration and content indexes separately for each portal site. In Enterprise Search, you manage all of this at the SSP level with one content index and one property store per SSP. This prevents redundant indexing and centralizes the administration of resource-intensive operations, such as index management, enhancing the manageability of Enterprise Search. With SharePoint 2007, an SSP is required for session state and a number of other functions to work. Now that the web application has been created successfully, we are returned to the SSP page to finish the configuration. The web application is automatically entered into the web application field. Next, we will enter our credentials. Each SSP requires a database for service-specific data. Use of the default database server and database name is recommended for most cases. However, you may specify your own settings for the database server, the database name, or the SQL authentication credentials. Use of Windows authentication is strongly recommended. To use SQL authentication, you specify the credentials that will be used to connect to the SSP database. In addition to the SSP database, a separate database is required for frequently changing search-related data. Use of the default database server and database name is recommended for most cases. Refer to the Administrator's Guide for advanced scenarios where specifying database information is required. Use of Windows Authentication is strongly recommended. To use SQL Authentication, specify the credentials that will be used to connect to the SSP database. Select the index server that will crawl content in all web applications associated with this SSP. We also need to specify the path on the index server where the indexes will be located. When you change the index server, the index is not automatically moved. To move an index, STSAdmin must be used. If there is no index server listed in the index server section, then no server in your farm has been assigned to the index server role. You can choose to use SSL to protect communications to and from web services. However, if you choose to use SSL, you must add the certificate on each server using the IIS administration tool. Until this is done, the web services will not be available. Upon successful creation of the SSP, the success page appears. If you were using shared services before your upgrade, you will want to go into the shared services administration page and review your services and make any changes that are necessary. Once you have finished your upgrade, there are some best practices for post-upgrade steps. First, you'll want to delete unneeded version 2 sites. This is a necessary step for gradual upgrade and content database migration. By finalizing the upgrade, you remove temporary data maintained about the version 2 environment. For gradual and in-place upgrades, this is a required step. Next, you'll want to do any post-upgrade data migration. Finally, you'll want to uninstall version 2. Let's look at these steps in the demonstration environment. In this demonstration, we are going to show how to perform the post-upgrade tasks. After upgrading a site collection using the gradual upgrade option, you should keep the old sites online for a period of time so that the site can be reviewed and verified. During this time, both the IT administrators and the site owners, designers, and developers can review the site and have a chance to compare the old site to the new site and look for any discrepancies or errors. For example, you will want to check all hyperlinks to make sure they are still functioning. You will also want to copy missing components, if any, from the old site to the new site using a SharePoint-compatible web page editor, such as Office SharePoint Designer. If web parts don't function correctly, you'll want to either update or redeploy them. As a last resort, it may be necessary to revert back to the version 2 site while you make the adjustments needed to make your site perform correctly in the version 3 environment. You can view the status of the farm upgrade from the Operations link in Central Administration. Currently, the status of our upgrade is okay. One of the final upgrade steps is to finalize your upgrade in Central Administration. You should only finalize the upgrade when all components have been upgraded. This process will remove the connection to the previous version of SharePoint and clean up any temporary data. Once you finalize the upgrade, it is not possible to return to the farm upgrade process without restoring the original farm backup and restarting the entire upgrade process. We are prompted to make sure that we are finished with our upgrade. Once the upgrade is finalized, you'll want to perform a few more steps. First, you'll want to remove SharePoint Portal Server 2003 gradually, as each set of sites, content databases, and web applications are upgraded successfully. You can do this from SharePoint Central Administration in SharePoint Portal Server 2003, or from the command line using the STS admin command. Then you'll want to delete each personal and team site collection after they have been successfully upgraded. If you delete a portal site, you will remove entries from the configuration database for all portal site content and all portal site configuration data, and you will remove content indexes. You can specify whether to delete associated databases when deleting the portal site. In a shared services topology, if you delete the portal site that provides shared services, all child portal sites stop functioning. To restore functionality to the child portal sites, you must restore the parent portal site. Windows SharePoint Services 3.0 and Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007 provide a smooth integration of website information for your organization. The new release of SharePoint offers several advantages over previous versions to provide a better experience for administrators and users. Once you have recognized the benefits of upgrading and decided to start the process, you will want to determine your upgrade approach. By examining your environment, including any customizations and shared services that are being used, you can weigh the benefits and trade-offs of each approach: in-place upgrade, gradual upgrade, and content database migration. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/dsk-104 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There is also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and Visual Studio .NET. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP, you can become a fully certified System Administrator, or MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, here's Caroline McGrath, TechNet Relationship Marketing Manager.